It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott's here. Mary Jo Foley's here. I'm back. And we're going to talk about Windows Live, the new BlackBerry, Windows Phone, and the future of Windows 8. It's all ahead. That's what we do every week on Windows Weekly. Stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 259, recorded May 3rd, 2012. Live is dead. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Go to My PC. Why commute when Go to My PC lets you work from wherever you are? Visit GoToMyPC.com for your free 30-day trial. Just use the offer code Windows. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code Windows5. And don't forget, they now offer free domain registration when you subscribe to an annual plan. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/windows. It's time to examine your windows. Open your windows. Throw them open to the world and say, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to tell. Oh, that's the wrong movie. Ladies and gentlemen.
You're making it sound like a proctologist exam or something.
Throw open.
You're going to feel a slight prick, and then it's going to hurt a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Paul Thurrott, Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky, PT, we call him. The man in charge, the supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com, news editor for Windows IT Pro. Does IaaS do all of this?
He does it half-heartedly, I think is fair to say.
Author of the Delphi 3 Super Bible. And Windows Phone Secrets, among other fabulous tomes. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking Paul Thurrott. In the orange trunks, in the other corner, Mrs. Mary Jo Foley, the ZDNet blogger at allaboutmicrosoft.com, the author of Microsoft 2.0, What They Left Out in 1.0, and other fine novels.
Windows Live Edition.
Windows yes, Windows Live. I'm glad to be back. I missed you guys. Norway's fun.
Yeah.
But there's only so much dried fish one can eat.
Oh.
Yum. Actually, a lot of beer. Good beer. You would like the beer in Norway, Mary Jo.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was fun. And very nice people. And you know, what a safe country. You could just leave your stuff lying around. I just left stuff lying. Put my wallet on a wall and walked away. Just leave it lying around. I'll tell you how honest they are. We're in the train from Bergen to Oslo. Beautiful train, by the way, in which, and Paul, you might be interested in this, we go through the planet of Hoth.
Nice.
Empire Strikes Back was shot.
Yes, at the hotel.
In the mountains, yeah. And in fact, when we got on, the conductor said, this is the stop where Harrison Ford got off by accident. and they had to send the helicopter for him to get him back to the planet Hoth. But as we're going through, it really looks like the beautiful planet Hoth, and there's still snow, even despite the fact that it's almost May, and it's still there's lots of snow on the ground, skiers and everything. But it was gorgeous. But as we get on the train, a woman walks down the train saying, I found this 1,000 kroner note on the floor. Anybody drop a 1,000 kroner note is like hundreds of dollars. And she say, anybody lose this? And nobody's saying anything. First, she's really honest. Second, everybody else on the train is really, because they could say, oh yeah, that's mine. No. She's waving it all the way down the train. So that's Norway for you right there. Smoked fish, planet Hoth, and honest people.
Those things don't seem to mix. You think the suicide rate would be through the roof?
No. It's very jolly. A very jolly people. They're like the Germans with a sense of humor.
Yeah, but it's like, okay, we have to eat smoked fish today, but at least tomorrow will be -10, so we have that to look forward to.
You know where we were? Christensen is right on the Atlantic Ocean, and so it is not as cold as Oslo because the ocean moderates the temperatures and it only gets
the warm breeze off the North Atlantic. Yeah.
And then as we're on the boat, the captain says, it is a beautiful day, very unusual. You can see, look on the horizon, that plume of smoke. That is the oil rig. We never see that, he says. There it is, pumping smoke.
You know, people in Massachusetts are worried about those wind farm things, right? Which are arguably okay looking.
Yeah. No, we got oil.
Certainly
got oil.
Not smoky.
They love it in Norway, though, because Norway was really a poor country until in the 60s it discovered oil, and it made them a very wealthy nation. So they're the Dubai of the North, basically.
Yeah, the playboys of Europe.
Hey, Mary Jo. Hey, Paul. Good to see you. Thank you. It was Iaz last week, wasn't it? Thank you for filling in, Iaz. I appreciate it. But we're back to work now. No more fun and games for you two. Let's kick things off. With a little eulogy for Live. Windows Live.
I wonder if they'll do not Las Vegas.
Last Rites.
New Orleans-style funeral.
Oh, wouldn't that be good with a jazz band?
They Dixie dance
band.
And play the trumpets.
Oh, when the saints come marching in, it's dead. So joining
Windows
Clippy,
Live is dead, the headline of the week.
joining Clippy and Windows XP, Windows Live. Wait a minute, it's not dead. They just renamed it, right? All the features are still there. What?
Mostly some, we what? Think. We're not positive.
But Windows Live is so great. Why would they kill it?
You know, I have to say, we're about, 8 months now into this building Windows 8 blog thing. And I have to say, I think we're actually finally starting to get good at it. Because they never say what they mean. And you really have to read between the lines, and you have to pay attention to what they say. In this case, they provided a chart or a table, you know, where they showed this
new
is
name.
What this is going to become, and you will actually find most of what you need to know in this table. So, for example,
they're saying Windows Live reimagined.
Yeah, it's reimagined. reimagined as a dead thing. So
imagine if you like will.
So for example, one of the things that's not in that table is Windows Live Writer.
Yeah.
Right?
Which I love. It's the blog
right.
tool.
So it's dead, right? I think, you know, Windows Live Writer is one. Yes.
It may not be dead. It may not be dead.
Oh, no,
because
of course
this
it may
morning
not be dead.
I tweeted to Chris Jones, I said, you know, Windows Live Writer, dead, not dead. Yeah. He just tweeted back a few minutes ago and said, no, it'll be available as a Windows 8 app.
As a Windows 8 app.
It's not on that chart.
The whole thing is really they're all apps now, right? So,
right.
SkyDrive is the SkyDrive app. Office is the Office app.
Well, they're
email
not all
is the mail app.
Not all of them. Not
no?
All of them. So this is yet another indication that they're drawing a line between what we've called like consumption style apps and productivity apps, you know, where there's a couple of productivity bits in there that are going to continue. Windows Live Photo Gallery is an example, and Windows Live Movie Maker. Those things are going to continue as Windows applications is what it looks like. There's a Photos app that has nothing to do with photo editing, but is everything about photo viewing. And so that thing will be in Windows 8 as an app. You know, right. Mail, calendar, contacts, and messaging, all apps.
All apps. But they will still
Windows
have,
Live
they
Writer,
will live
I mean,
on with live addresses, calendar.live.com, right?
We'll scroll up. See, I don't know. Yeah, that's just the web.
That's the web, HTML5. Web. So live.com's not gone.
We don't know. I'd be surprised.
Well, what's this column for then?
I know.
Well, that's what it is now.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah. The table's arranged in a weird way. The thing it is now is on the right.
This is the thing it is now. And then the two things on the left, Windows 8 and Windows Phone, are the things they will be in the future.
Well, no, Windows Phone is now, actually. Okay. That's as okay. It exists now.
You'll forgive my confusion.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, for example, Live Mesh, we wondered last week.
This obfuscates everything.
And yet, I think reveals a lot if you pay attention to it, right? I mean, Windows Live Mesh, we wondered last week, is this thing dead? Because,
right.
SkyDrive app kind of does a lot of it, but not all of it.
Right.
Windows Live Mesh.
Not mentioned.
It is mentioned. See, it's over
mentioned.
There on the right.
Right, there it is.
There it was. But then when you go over to the left, there it isn't. And I think that says it's gone.
So it was in earlier versions, you had Folder Share Live Mesh, Windows Live Mesh. In Windows 8, you have SkyDrive app and SkyDrive desktop.
Yeah, I think
that supersedes all of these.
Right. In other words, they mentioned it. That means it's gone. You know, Windows Live Mail, gone.
It's now just the mail app.
Right.
But that's all it was anyway. Come on.
Yeah. Well, right? I mean, but Windows Live Writer is an example of something that exists today that is not in the right-hand side of the chart. So we all assumed it was gone,
right?
Since they didn't even mention it.
It's not
but
even mentioned.
Now I'd say maybe it's not gone. Maybe it's
actually
staying.
Throw the chart up one more time.
I will throw it.
Because there is another confusing little area in there I believe is misreported or misnoted. So MSN Messenger is listed over on the right for some reason.
Yeah.
Even though the current version of that thing is actually Windows Live Messenger.
It hasn't been MSN Messenger for a while.
No, for years and years. Maybe since 2005. It's been a long time.
Jeez Louise.
So why isn't Windows Live Messenger there? And what is the fate of Windows Live Messenger? I know there's a messaging app. But, you know, the messaging app in Windows 8, at least today, doesn't do everything that Windows Live Messenger does. Now, one possible solution is obviously that Messenger continues, which actually I wouldn't be too surprised by. But the other one is, what if they just use Skype as their Windows-based messaging-type client, you know, an application?
Oh, wow.
Skype isn't mentioned in there at all.
Right.
Nope. Oh, right.
Yep.
I didn't even think about Skype. Yep.
So lots of there, you know, not surprisingly, lots of questions. But again, we're getting a little better at reading between the lines here. I mean, I think, you know, Windows Live Mesh is a good example of that where no one's came out and said Windows Live Mesh is dead. But if you look at that table, Windows Live Mesh is dead.
But it's, you know? but its functionality is contained in SkyDrive.
You
not
would think
all
so,
of it,
Liam,
though.
But not actually. As it turns out, not exactly.
No, only a subset of it is. And so that's there are a lot of features in Mesh that they haven't said if they ever will be added to SkyDrive or when they will. So we don't know. And one of those millions of questions we really just don't know, as we say on the show every week, I think.
Windows 8 is designed, says Building Windows 8 blog, to be cloud-powered, so it comes with Metro-style apps for communications, sharing, schedule, photos, and videos. You've already seen them in the preview version. All powered by cloud services. When you sign into your Microsoft account, Family Safety, Windows Phone. For customers who use Windows 7, we have a set of Windows desktop apps. So they're going to replace the existing apps for Windows 7.
Which, by the way, I take to mean they're going to rename them, right?
Yeah, because they're already apps.
I don't think they're going to, you know, add stuff to it. I think they're just going to rename.
And what happens to live.com?
Right.
Yeah, we don't
they're
know.
They're not going to get rid of that.
And what happens, I mean, there are probably millions of people who have live.com email addresses.
Right. You can't get rid of that.
You can't really get rid of it.
No.
Will they offer some other form of email address?
I look at this and I say, I see that SkyDrive is now going to be SkyDrive.com. No more SkyDrive.live.com.
It says that.
It says that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, it says, I don't know, because this is that column that you say doesn't mean what I think it is.
I don't think that means what you think it is.
So this web HTML5 column, live.com, everywhere it says hotmail.com, account.live.com, calendar.live.com, skydrive.com.
Okay, so skydrive.com does work. I actually
okay, so that's
there.
New.
That's interesting.
But photos.live.com is still there. People.live.com is your contacts. Calendar. Sounds like these are going to persist as live.com.
I guess. Well, why is the window, you know, the funny thing is the calendar thing, right? So, for example, the name of the calendar service is Hotmail Calendar.
Right.
And address of it is calendar.live.com.
Well, I don't see the word Hotmail anywhere here.
No, I know, but I'm just telling you that's what it is.
It's now your calendar.
Okay. But even the contacts are, you know, they're really Hotmail contacts.
Again, I see people.live.com. I don't see no stinking Hotmail.
It's almost like you're suggesting this thing isn't complete.
Yeah, it's like they don't. It's like somebody made this up. I love that
there is an API column as because that's
so
that's like super important to get out there.
Let's mention REST and JSON for storage.
Oh, thank God, JSON's in there.
Yeah, I don't know what this column is. Just like goofy.
Yeah.
Although I could say, you know, remember who this blog is for, right? Isn't it for people building Windows 8 apps? So maybe they care more than
is
the
it?
Consumer.
I don't know. I don't think so.
And it's for us who are, this is our only
building Windows 8, right?
Here in this paragraph at the end, it does say, in coming weeks, we'll share more information as well as our upcoming work with Skype.
Yeah, so they haven't actually started working with Skype, but they plan to do that sometime in the future, according to that
sentence. Right. So the Skype story is still to be told.
Yes.
Someday.
Still, we're thinking about it. So we had a meeting today.
We will tell the Skype story.
All will be revealed in time. I'm sure that's a line in there somewhere, because it's like, you guys don't need to know everything now. We'll tell you more later.
It literally is a need-to-know basis.
So, yes. So the bottom line...
Yep.
By the way, what's really confusing is it looks like Stephen Sanofsky wrote this post at the top.
But he does that with
then
every
Chris single. Jones wrote it at the bottom. So I don't... So like,
actually, so here's my theory. I think Stephen Sanofsky only gave himself access to the server. And so he has to post everything.
But Chris wrote it.
So other people... Well, every single post is written by someone else. So Stephen Sanofsky writes the introduction... And then he posts whatever else someone else
so
wrote.
So he wrote an epigram here. And this is his epigram that begins the 8,000-word post from Chris Jones.
Actually, this one's not by standards
this was shorter.
Of this plot.
Yeah.
This was a shorter one.
Yeah, because they don't know what the hell
this is. This one you could actually get through, like, you know, without going to get a snack and a drink. You could read it at once.
Although, you had to kind of read it three times to understand it. So actually, it ended up being just as long as anyone.
That's true.
Everyone.
And then Paul and I are on IM. We're on IM to each other. Like, do you think it means this?
Really?
That they're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't know.
IMs are flying.
Yeah.
Well, you have to parse it, you know?
Yeah, you do.
You
can't just read it and walk away. You know, this means something.
Yeah.
Plus, it never says, hey, we're killing Windows Live. Surprise. Yeah.
No, but it does say.
But that's what it says.
Windows Live reimagined.
Yeah, reimagined. We're going to imagine we never came up with Windows Live. We feel really stupid about that.
I like Windows Live. You and I, Paul, have been singing its praises. In fact, you keep saying, why don't they update it? Why don't they update it? We love Windows Live.
This goes back, literally to this announcement. But the biggest fear I had when they did this, because I loved the stuff that at the time MSN was doing. Those guys were iterating very quickly on the products. And I remember we had this conversation. I said, there's only one thing that can happen here when these two things come together. Either Windows is going to become faster thanks to these guys, or more likely, MSN guys are going to become slower thanks to Windows.
You totally said that, and now we know what happened.
Yeah.
You totally called it, and Paul Thoreau.
Well, it's just, you know, it's the way it was. And the other thing is, and I brought this up a bunch of times, you know, these guys promised, even though they had to do it because of antitrust reasons, that when they pulled all those applications out of Windows before and put them into Windows Live Essentials, the deal was, don't worry, this is good news, because we're going to update these things all the time now. This lets us update them more quickly than every 3 years with Windows. And you know what? That's been kind of a bust.
Yeah, and you complained about that. And that was the writing on the wall, that this was not going to become the future of Windows.
So congratulations.
They kind of admit it in the post. Yeah. Right. In the post at the beginning or somewhere in the middle, maybe they kind of say, you know, when we called this Windows Live Essentials and we promised you guys we'd, you know, be updating it. It was a service. Well, actually, it was just an app and we never really did that. I mean, it was kind of like a mea culpa.
They should have put the ultimate extras guy on it, you know.
Oh, gee.
That would have caused it.
Another sore spot.
The guy who wrote the plus disc. Now there's a guy. Okay, well, it's reimagined.
Yes.
It's a little bit of a Rod Serling kind of. Imagine, if you will.
Yes.
An application suite reimagined. By the way, thank you for the extra gigabytes on my SkyDrive, Microsoft. That was nice. I went from 7 to 25 on my SkyDrive.
Okay.
You didn't get that? You got that.
No, we did. Of course, yeah.
Was that one day only, or should people immediately check?
I don't think so. I bet it's still there now if you have an existing account. I think it's...
It was just like a free upgrade to 25 gigabytes.
Yes. Yeah. Most people didn't know it was there.
Right. You had to opt in. It's not automatic. You had to opt in. If you didn't have, I think, 4 gigs already stored in SkyDrive, you had to actually say, I want the 25 gigs free.
I did that. So now I have 25 gigs.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love, you know, and I hope they don't get rid of mesh, but I don't think they will. They'll have something that called SkyDrive that is mesh.
Yeah. Most of it, yeah. I think it's unfortunate in some ways we're going to lose a few things, but yeah, I mean, some of the core functionality certainly will be there.
Okay. We'll all right. Okay. We're talking Windows.
We'll see how they handle it.
Mr. Paul Thoreau, Ms. Mary Jo Foley. And our this portion of our program, the Windows Live Reimagined portion of our program, is brought to you by Go to My PC, the good folks at Citrix, who have made the ultimate in remote access software easy to use, easy to install, and free for the next 30 days. With gas prices going up, more and more of us don't even want to come to work, you know, just stay at home. What if you took every Friday and you worked at home? And you, and I mean, you'd save 20% on gas. You'd save a lot of wear and tear on you and your car. You'd be happier, and you'd be ready for the weekend a little bit earlier. Go to My PC could do that. Just show the boss, Go to My PC, and say, look, I'm at home. I'm working on my office computer. I'm getting things done. I'm sending and receiving email, running any program, accessing any network resource. I am go, 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 thanks to Go to My PC. And here's the beauty part. Works on a Mac or PC. You can access it from a Mac or PC. And iPad, iPhone, or Android tablet. So you can hit the road, take your iPad, especially this new one with the high-res screen, man, and you log into that computer and you're doing everything just like you were at work, but you're not, and that's beautiful. It sets up in minutes. You don't need any IT help. You don't need any port forwarding. It's secure. There's never been an exploit, ever, with Go to My PC. Now, I want you to try it free for 30 days. You just visit the website. GOTOMYPC. It's easy. Sometimes people go to mypc.com, but no, it's go to my. No, I shouldn't have said that. Now it's, everybody's going to be completely confused. It's go to mypc.com. That's why they always say visit go to mypc.com. Then you see here this try it free button. Click of that and use the offer code Windows. Even if you're putting it on the Mac, it's referring not to the operating system, but to this show, Windows Weekly, and we didn't want to make you type the whole weekly thing. And if you type in Windows as the promo code, you get 30 days absolutely free. You could use it. The original offer was 1 hour. Well, come on. I said, come on. So they said, all right, unlimited, as much as you want, all month for 30 days. OS 10, Leopard or newer, Internet Explorer 6 or newer, Firefox 3 or newer, Safari 3 or newer, Windows 2000 or newer. And, of course, you have to have high-speed Internet. And the iPad app is free. The iPhone app is... Imagine doing your office work from your iPhone. That's cool. Go to mypc.com. Please try it today. And don't forget to use the offer code Windows so that Paul and Mary Jo get the brownie points they deserve. They deserve them. Did you see that Kmart says it's a conflict? We're not going to sell the Kindle anymore.
Kmart, yep. Or
was it Kmart or Target or somebody?
Target.
One of them guys.
Well, they had complained earlier in the year that I don't think they specified Amazon at the time, but they were basically saying that online shoppers were using Target as a showroom, so that people would come in.
Oh, that sucks.
Browse, steal the product, and say, "Yeah, okay," and then they would buy it online. You know, and Amazon even had a promotion, I guess, where if you scanned a product in a store and sent it in, you could get 10% off something.
That sucks.
That's kind of Amazon-esque, yeah. I guess. I think it's in keeping with their whole corporate thing.
Yeah,
but yeah, I guess I understand.
So Microsoft does a deal with BNN, right?
Yep.
Yeah, they a did. Confusing deal.
Oh, are we more confused?
Well, no.
A many-faceted deal.
I like stories like this because it kind of makes my morning.
Wait a minute. Weren't they suing over the Nook?
Yes, that's
my wrong.
They were.
Okay. That's why it's great. You know, you wake up in the morning and everything's different.
They kissed and made up.
They didn't just kiss and made up. It's like they got married. You know.
It was, and the funniest part to me of the whole press release about the partnership was, oh yeah, and we settled with them on that Android patent suit was like way down, like at the bottom of the press release.
Oh, that
one
was
line.
Nothing. It was nothing. It was nothing. Just a misunderstanding.
Nothing. Yeah.
You know?
I'm like, wait, they settled the patent suit.
Bygones. Bygones.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was big because, you know, Barnes & Noble and Motorola are the only two actually fighting Microsoft over the whole Android patent thing publicly. So one of the two has settled, and now it's only Motorola and Microsoft duking it out in court.
And do you think this is the settlement, basically? And do you
more.
Think there will be a Windows-based Nook, as you call it, Mary Jo, a Wook?
A Wook.
Not a Winnook.
A Wook.
A Wook.
Well, we got the Nookie book reader. What could go wrong with a Wook?
Well, one of my Twitter folks said, it's the Wook, and it's going to run Wook IE. Wookie.
Wookie.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know. You know, at first I was thinking, okay, of course they're going to do a Windows-based Nook, and not instead of Android maybe, but in addition to Android. But as I looked at more of the documents behind this, there is an actual filing that Barnes & Noble made that mentions something called a Microsoft Reader that would work with the Barnes & Noble bookstore. So maybe we're asking the wrong question. Maybe it's not going to be the, you know, BNN product that's a Windows-based Nook. Maybe it'll be a Microsoft Reader, you know, kind of like the same thinking.
There's a product called Reader that's in Windows 8, right?
Right.
A PDF application.
That they killed recently, right?
No, it's in Windows 8.
Two readers. I forgot, there's two readers. And then there's the other Microsoft Reader program that was for
Oh, they killed the e-book reader they killed, yes.
They killed that. Right.
But there's a Metro style app called Windows Reader that's in Windows 8 that reads PDFs and
does it read? XPS but it's files. Not a Nook because isn't there something special about the Nook Reader? No.
Well, no. What I'm wondering is if this doesn't mean that software could be adapted to read Nook titles natively, that you could just use it as a front end to this store.
Oh, interesting. Yep, maybe.
And Mary Jo, you point out that there are 55 mentions of Windows Phone in this filing. 55.
Right. I know. It was crazy because I just started doing keyword search and I'm like, how many times do they say Windows 8? Once. And how many times do they say Windows Phone? 55. Windows Phone's not even in the press release. Like, they didn't even talk about doing a Nook.
That's awesome.
A Nook reader for Windows Phone. And it's like, okay, so why is Phone played up so much in this filing and Windows 8 is kind of downplayed in the filing?
What do you think?
You know, I never even looked. Is Nook? I just sort of assumed Nook was available as software on Windows Phone. Is it not?
I think it is not.
There's been an Amazon Kindle thing forever.
Yeah, I don't think it's there.
Yeah, it's not. It's crazy. No.
Right. So, one of my colleagues at ZDNet, his theory, Jason Perlow says, what if they suddenly let Barnes and Noble take the Windows Phone OS and make that the operating system on a reader? Maybe that's why there's so many mentions of Windows Phone. So right now you can't do that. You can only put the Windows Phone OS on a phone. But if they change the screen resolution supported by Windows Phone, maybe maybe one of those could be a reader.
Wow.
There's so many like great conspiracy theories here, right? But we don't know. Another one. Surprisingly, we just don't know.
Yeah, you think it'll be I still want a Windows Phone tablet.
You do. Really so do
wish,
I.
Yeah.
I do
really
too.
Do wish they would do that.
Yep. So, there's so many interesting parts to that whole deal, though. And I think there's a lot we don't know. If in that filing, there's tons of stuff redacted. So there's a lot more to this partnership that isn't public yet.
Like national security related? What do you mean? It's like it's like the Pentagon Papers. Like, sorry, we can't, you know, publish the names here.
Yes.
That's crazy.
If you go through it, there's a triple asterisk everywhere in that filing where stuff is redacted, and there's hundreds of things that have been redacted from that filing. So, yeah, there's lots of intrigue still to come.
Interesting. Redacted, huh? This is almost like a government document.
Yeah.
secret stuff.
I guess
it makes you wonder, though, doesn't it? Sorry, Paul. I was going to say, it makes you wonder. You know, was this whole partnership ready to roll? And then the Android patent suit happened. And so it was like, oh, wait, stop. Okay, now we can roll it out because now we've settled the patent suit. I feel like it's almost like one was predicated on the other.
It is weird how friendly they are all of a sudden. You know, this case was on the verge of going to trial. It was going to be the awesome technology patent trial we've all been waiting for. Microsoft's patents will be tested. Will they stand up in the court of law?
That's why it would be insane either way. Why they settled. That's why.
No, I know, but it's crazy. Like, I mean, this was going to be awesome. And now they're in bed together and it's like, what? What just happened? Yeah. They hated each other. Did I miss something? I mean, you know, now they're these close partners and Microsoft has bought some, I think, 17% stake, if I'm not mistaken, in the new co that will result as they spin off the Nook business. And it's really amazing to me how much this changed. So I guess we'll see.
So there you go.
But I do think this gives at least the possibility where the Nook could become the ebook, you know, the iBooks, if you will, of the Windows Store, you know, where you could browse for through Barnes & Noble Store via the Windows Store software, which would be huge for Nook, I would think, you know, having that inroad in there. And possibly even have Nook as something that's pre-installed in Windows 8, which is maybe a little far-fetched, but it's possible, certainly.
Yeah, the filing actually says no to that. The filing says the Nook app is going to be available in the store, but it's going to be free, you know, which is what you would expect.
Yeah. Yeah, the Kindle app is already there, by the way. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah, it is there, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait, is it there?
See, I thought you wrote about it. I thought you wrote about it being one of the preview apps on consumer preview. Is,
God, I was doubting that the second it came out of my mouth.
Well, and remember our friend who was on Windows Weekly a while back, Brandon Watson, when he left Microsoft, he went to Amazon, and his job at Amazon is to manage the Kindle app for Windows 8 and the Kindle app for Windows Phone. So I bet that was a surprise morning for Brandon Watson on Monday.
Oh, well. Oh, well.
This never would have happened if you didn't leave.
Exactly. You should have stuck around.
So so when Yahoo started falling apart, it sued Facebook. Now that Nokia has lost 27% of its business over the last 3 months, what could they possibly do?
I'm interested that you say it that way. I have seen a lot of that kind of, you know, this is the reason why they're doing this kind of
You don't think that's the case with Nokia?
I think it's a little more nuanced than that. Apple has big patent lawsuits against other companies, and they're dominating the market. I mean, I'm just, you know, this is just the era we live in. I mean, I think it would be irresponsible of Nokia to its shareholders not to do this. You know, if they really, you know, I just want to throw that one out there.
That's the cooler heads prevailing.
I'm not saying that you're not right, but I mean, let's at least consider that. You know, someone on Twitter was complaining about this. He called it patent trolling, and I said patent trolling, or you know, are they just protecting one of their most crucial assets? You know. Yeah. And he said, I think his response was something like, I'm just tired of this. Well, okay, but, you know, and no offense. I mean, we all recognize that you're tired of it. But, you know, these are two humongous companies that have, there are billions of dollars at stake here and their entire futures are on the line and so forth. I mean, this is, it is important. I mean, I agree that at the end of this, it's going to seem like World War III because these companies are all suing each other and we don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And there are going to be phases of this that are going to be bizarre. There'll be certain markets where someone will win an injunction and someone will be forced to take a product out of the market or change it so that it doesn't, you know, violate some patent. And sometimes there'll be settlements, you know, but we're right in the middle of it. You know, there's just no way around it. I think we're at DEFCON 1, you know, for patents. It's just where we're at.
So the Nokia press release says there are 45 Nokia patents in one or more actions. Including dual function antennas, power management, and multi-mode radios, as well as to enhance software features, including, get this, application stores, multitasking, navigation, conversational message display, dynamic menus, data encryption, and retrieval of email attachments on a mobile device. Holy cow!
Yeah. And by the way, every company in this space has patents that sound just as basic as those, and as crucial to every mobile device.
That's the problem.
Which is what makes this insane.
Right.
You know, this is not a two-front war. This is like a 27-front war. And everyone is fighting on all of those fronts, you know.
Right.
On the Foss Patents blog, you know, Florian Mueller tracks
blog.
All kinds of
it's
patents.
Really a good resource.
It is. He analyzed the 45 patents and said, you know who they're really going after when you look at all the 45? They're really mostly going after HTC, is his opinion. He made a case for that and said they're the ones who are at the crux of most of this.
Well, of the three, HTC, RIM, and ViewSonic, they are the only ones that are really dominant right now.
Yeah. And he also brought up, you know, there was the whole precedent to this, which was Nokia versus Apple. And that I think went in Nokia's favor.
They did. Apple ended up paying, right. I think they paid somewhere in the tune of $600 million for previous usage and then licensed the patents. So Apple can license too. You know, it's rare, but it does happen.
Yeah.
And a victory for Motorola Mobility in the German courts against Microsoft.
Yeah. Yeah, although, you know, widely expected and no immediate repercussions. Okay.
Right. Not enforceable now because just shortly before that, the U.S. court blocked the ability of the German court to actually stop Microsoft from selling Xbox, Windows, and IE in Germany. Ooh, so there's like a U.S. case and all intertwined with the German case. And
yeah, that's good stuff.
That one's a mess. Yeah. but nobody has stopped selling anything. You know, I saw a lot of headlines saying, okay, Microsoft can't sell the Xbox in Germany anymore. No, nope, not true.
Well, yeah, no, people, what if I can't buy Windows 8? It's not going to happen.
It's not about that.
So what's the deal? I mean.
Oh, man, how to even explain this one?
I suppose it is possible that somewhere down the road that they could prevent Microsoft from selling certain products in that country. But before that has to happen, or before that can happen, the U.S. court case has to wind down and conclude to some fashion and also conclude in a way that is amenable for that to happen. But, you know, the way these things really work is that these companies will settle should that be a possible result. And Microsoft is no doubt racing to change the way it does things in all of those products. Although this is one of those standard essential patent issues, right? This is H.264 playback. It's obviously semi-crucial.
Yeah, Microsoft's trying to flip the case, actually, to make it all about FRAND, the free and reasonable patent stuff, and say, you know, Motorola is trying to charge too much royalty-wise to us for H.264, and so we shouldn't let them charge us those exorbitant rates. So Microsoft's kind of trying to flip this case to be about FRAND instead of about patent, you know, who's in the wrong on the patents.
Yeah, and I don't even understand how Motorola can sue over something like this. What are they, you know, one of 127 different companies that have a stake in H.264? This is like scorched earth policy on the part of Motorola, I think.
Apple, Samsung, you want to talk about that? Okay, moving on.
I know. This whole show could be
I don't cover these because it just is endless.
Right. Is. Well, the only thing I'd say about Apple, Samsung that I think is interesting is these guys actually have a date sometime late in May where they're going to get together and talk settlement. And
it feels like Tim Cook does not have the bloodthirst that Steve Jobs had.
Yeah, and he literally said during the conference call after the earnings announcement this past month that he would be inclined to settle. He doesn't like this kind of stuff. So, you know, maybe that's the beginning. It's that kind of thing that I think will help. You know, Microsoft is obviously very aggressive, but their goal with patents is to get people to get other companies to license those patents. And they've been very successful at that. Apple historically so far has been very aggressive just suing. You know, they don't want you to license. They just want you not to use them. They want you out of the market. You know, they don't want you to sell products that look like their products or that use what they see as their crucial technologies. You know, Microsoft tends to license. You know, the Nokia
go ahead, Paul.
No, it's okay.
No, I was going to say that it's like, you know, like Tim Cook saying we want to settle. It reminds me of, you know, when Bill Gates was still running Microsoft, they were very aggressive too, and they were going after everybody and, you know, weren't afraid to take it to court. And now, since Bill Gates isn't running the company anymore, they are a very different company when it comes to patents and legal issues. You know, now it's more like mutually assured destruction is more like the way they think now than like, let's take everybody to court. And, you know, they try to keep the patent stuff out of court, right? I mean,
well, God help us if these things are actually tested. I think that's what they're all afraid of.
Right. Yeah. And that's why the Barnes & Noble case was so huge, because Barnes & Noble was like saying, hey, here's what they wanted us to go under non-disclosure about. And they were ready to, like, you know, show the world the whole, like, what's behind the curtain, and Microsoft.
The problem is that, you know, patents are like atomic weapons, right? You know, so during the Cold War, the United States and the Soviet Union had whatever arsenal of weapons pointed at each other. No one wanted them to pull the trigger. If it happened, it's probably likely that 90% of those would have failed in some way. But you only need one of them to hit. You know, that's the thing. And patents are just like that. There's no doubt that if this Microsoft case with Barnes & Noble had gone to court, if there were X number of patents involved, that a lot of those things would have been struck down really quickly. But, you know, one or two would get through, and those are the ones that are going to kill you. And that's what nobody wants to test. Because on Microsoft's end, in this case, you don't want most of your patents thrown out. On Barnes & Noble's case, it doesn't really matter. If any one of them are true, then you're still screwed.
Okay, well, you know what? I think I want to move on to something even more exciting, and that is the latest operating system from BlackBerry. But before we do...
I noted a small hint of sarcasm.
I know you've all been waiting for the latest, and we've got the deal coming up. But first, a word from our friends at Squarespace. Everything you need to build an exceptional website, an amazing website, including hosting, including the domain, including analytics, including the best software ever for content management, for creating a blog or a photo gallery or e-commerce site, whatever it is you want to put on the web. This is the place to go. And here's the beauty part. If you go to Squarespace and click this green Start Your Site button, you could try this free. You don't need a credit card. You don't need anything but a name of a site, a password, and an email address. You could start this for 2 weeks, absolutely the run of the place. Anything you want to do, use all the tools, the integration of the social media stuff like Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, the templates that aren't templated, beautiful stuff. And the statistics and the iOS and Android apps, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the month of May is a great time. If you've been putting off signing up for a Squarespace account, they're now offering free domain registration when you sign up for an annual plan. It's integrated within the sign-up process. So if you've got a domain name, you know, I think one of the things that kind of made people nutty is the idea that, oh, okay, I've got a domain name, and now I have a Squarespace.com site, and then you have to, it's not hard, but you have to go through some configuration to get it so that the domain name points to Squarespace. They're going to do it all for you, and they're even going to throw in setup and the domain registration for free when you sign up for a year. So this, you know, if you've got fancypants.com and, you know, you're ready to do it, you could go to Squarespace.com right now. The prices, they completely updated the pricing. If you haven't looked recently, you must look now. It starts at $8 a month. That's for hosting and the software for everything. That's when you buy an annual plan, $10 month to month. The full unlimited plan is an incredible deal. This is unlimited pages, unlimited bandwidth, unlimited storage, unlimited. Unlimited bandwidth. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. And that's $16 a month when you buy an annual plan. Plus, the domain registration is free. Plus, 10% off your first purchase on a new account when you use our offer code. So, all in all, this is the time if you've been putting it off. Windows 5 is the offer code. 5 for May, the fifth month of the year. So, you still have some time. You can go to Squarespace.com. Try it free for 2 weeks. Set up a site. You get to keep that site. And when you sign up, make sure you use the offer code Windows5 to save 10% and get all these things like the domain registration free and the really good deals. I mean, I just think this is the time. If you've been waiting, if you want a new website, if you're tired of your old web hosting, you want to do better, Squarespace.com, everything you need, use the offer code Windows5. Windows and the number 5 to get 10% off your first purchase. So go get the whole year. That's what I would do. You get the best price and 10% off. And Paul just grinds his teeth every time I do this ad because he doesn't have a choice.
You but know, you I
you do.
I pay for Squarespace.
Oh, you have a Squarespace site too? Your blog?
No, I don't have a site. I just pay for the service and I pretend that I use it because I can't use it at work, but I want to use it.
He wants to so bad.
You have no idea.
Paul.
So I do. I actually have an account.
What? Really? You're not joking?
I do. No, I do. I have one. I just can't use it. I'm not using it yet.
Someday.
I hope to use it.
Someday. Squarespace.
Is that pathetic? Is that like having a poster of a band in your bedroom and dreaming of it?
Someday I will be on that stage.
I'm going to marry Duran Duran.
You know, it's a great story. I was just, as you know, I was in Norway for the Nordic Light Photography Festival, and all of their stuff is on Squarespace. Their website.
Oh, thanks
blog.
For rubbing it in. Beautiful.
I mean, and it's gorgeous. They've done a great job. It really is fun. Yeah. And it's because, you know, Odd Inga, the guy who is their kind of their tech guy, he said, because of you, I put everything on Squarespace. And now I think the entire town of Christensen is using Squarespace. It's kind of amazing. Squarespace.com. Use the offer code Windows 5. Okie dokie. Let us move on to BlackBerry 10.
Well, I love that. It's just a joke.
Well, I don't know.
All right, so obviously,
have you played with it?
Ago?
Is it worth?
No, I have not.
I'm a BlackBerry fan, or I was. You know, I had a BlackBerry for a long time.
My problem with this is that it really does remind me of WebOS, which is they've come up with something that looks great.
It's too little, too late.
Yeah, it's too late. It's too bad. It looks good. You know, that's what I'm, that's too bad. It's just too bad.
Now, there's a note here that says, you've heard from Microsoft insiders. Mm-hmm. What? What have you heard? I must be misreading this.
Well, so in the past, when you talked about, I talk to people at Microsoft, obviously, on and off the record.
Sure.
And one of the conversations, we've had over the years is, what happens if Windows Phone fails? What are you going to do? And there was no room for failure in the past. It was always very clear that this is something that's not, it can't fail. We will stick with this as long as it takes. And, I'd bring up the Zune example. Well, okay, but you said you were in it for the long haul with Zune, and you kind of did your little 3-4 year run there, and then you gave up on the devices. So, you're going to do that with Windows Phone? And the answer was always no. Windows Phone is core to us. The MP3 players were not core to the Microsoft business. That was, we wanted it to be successful, but it wasn't. That's okay. It doesn't kill us. But now, I just had a conversation where it was like, well, we're not actually sure this thing's ever going to be successful. And that's interesting to me because this is a little bit of an about face, and it happened pretty quickly. I'm not saying this is like the official strategy or whatever, that now they're planning for it to fail, but there is some contingent there at least where they're not really happy with the way this has gone and really have expected it to turn around by this point. And I guess we'll see what happens this year with Lumia and whether or not that can jumpstart a little something. I mean, I do feel like Windows Phone market share is kind of leveled off as far as it's going to go down. If that's not the case in, the third quarter of this year or whatever, if it's still down in the 1.6% or whatever they're at, that's a problem because one of the big questions with smartphones and one of the reasons that this RIM BlackBerry thing is obviously too little too late is that we didn't know how many platforms this market could accommodate, And the theory was, well, obviously at least two, but maybe it's three, maybe it's four,
right.
We don't know.
Right.
It's looking increasingly like a two-way race, isn't it?
It may not even be a two-way race. I mean, the latest stuff from the carriers is that, Apple is just like outselling everybody by 2-1 on Verizon and Sprint. And, well, we don't know Sprint for sure, but Verizon.
Well, that's U.S. I mean, actually, US. Samsung right. Outsold Apple in the last quarter. So,
not in the U.S.
Not in the U.S. I mean, overall.
Yeah, but Verizon and AT&T both are saying, I think, what was it, 78% of all smartphones sold on Verizon are iPhones? So it's at best a two carrier race, maybe.
Yeah.
Two
well,
and a
I
half.
Think there's always room for. Yeah, okay, fair enough. I mean,
but there's
I
no
don't
room
think
for BlackBerry at this point. There's no room for Nokia except for the Windows Phone.
But Paul, if they are starting to admit this, because I haven't heard anybody.
This
at
is
Microsoft
a shock.
This, it's a shock, yeah. And if this happens and they decide like, hey, we can't make a go of this. So what would they do? They need a smartphone play, don't they? I mean. They can't just not be there.
I think they do. Yeah, I don't. I don't. Yeah.
Well, and it may be, any sensible company hopes for the best but plans for the worst. I mean, this is part of being a business is what would happen if? It doesn't mean that they're saying it's going to happen.
I would put it this way. For example, you could make this argument for various types of platforms.
We plan for the entire collapse of Twit at every turn.
As you should, Leo.
Yes, I should, yes. No. And I don't think, you know, that's not revealing anything.
So Microsoft doesn't have a social networking play, right? I mean, they don't, you know, their strategy there was we'll work with others, you know. I've sort of argued in, as the world moves forward and it's more heterogeneous and Microsoft isn't it anymore, you know, that they're part of the pie, not the biggest part or the only part, but part of it. You know, that Microsoft is not a very long-lived company. They've done things for a little while that have worked out and maybe they need to change a little bit. I mean, why can't Microsoft supply the major OS platforms with great applications like Office and gaming platforms like Xbox Live and so forth and do that? I mean, there are different ways that this could go. You know, so we'll see. But yeah, I would think that Windows Phone is core to what they do. But on the other hand, as these devices gain in sophistication, I suppose you could just make an argument for, well, maybe it just becomes Windows. You know, maybe Windows becomes their play across all of these device types, and that Microsoft isn't so much concerned with, you know, what percentage of people are holding the little device in their head making phone calls with it, but rather that those capabilities are available in a range of devices. And what we're really concerned is that Windows itself has some important number of users or whatever, regardless of the device type. So I'm just guessing here, by the way. And this is not anything anyone told me. But, you know, I guess there are different ways to look at it. I always thought the phone was... Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely different ways they could make money. Like, they could make money by selling apps for the phone, right? Or, you know, creating the management infrastructure services, for the
right,
phone.
Managing those devices in the enterprise, which is something they are doing right now.
So, it's just so shocking because, I mean, just last year, I remember talking to somebody at Microsoft who said, you know, we're in this for, like, the long haul. Like, when you sign up to work on the Windows Phone team, you commit to 5 years. Like, it's not like we're going to go, hey.
By the way, they
said
that.
Things haven't panned out.
They said that about Zoom.
Well, but to me, Zoom.
That is literally exactly
you commit for 5 years or the failure of the product, whichever comes first.
Maybe that was what it was. But I always just kept thinking of Windows Phone like Xbox, right? Like at the beginning, they were not successful with Xbox. Sony owned that market, and they kept saying, they said, we're going to stay, and we're going to keep pouring money in there, and we're going to stay with it, and we don't care if we take a huge loss. So. I thought this was like
discussions about, you know, it's early days, you know, the market changes and everything. But, you know, the other thing, and this is an interesting trend to me, we've also talked in the past about how, you know, Microsoft took X number of years to kind of grow to prominence, and then Google did it in half the time. And there is a kind of quickening, if you will, not like a Highlander quickening, but a quickening of time where these markets coalesce and become mature much more quickly than they did in the past. You know, the PC matured over a very slow period of time. Smartphones, more quickly. Tablets, much more quickly. It's possible that we expected this to be some kind of a 10-year run where things would then be decided. And maybe it's really a 5-year run, you know? I mean, we actually are we not, I think, almost 5 years into the iPhone.
2007, yeah, we are. In June, we'll be 5 years,
roughly.
Yeah.
So,
God, that's hard to believe.
Yeah. Right. I mean, so it's kind of a cute thing to say, like, you know, the iPhone changed everything. Of course it did. But, you know, the iPhone actually kind of changed everything. So, well, I mean, it really did. It's not just a saying.
No, it really did. No,
it's not an Apple ad. It's, you know, it really did change everything. Yeah. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, Palm was a big deal, big deal, and they're gone. You know, so Nokia a couple years ago was it, market share wise. They owned it. On the way down. RIM, US version of Nokia, same thing, on the way down. So I don't know. Don't get me wrong, I'm not giving up a Windows Phone. I love Windows Phone. I still would argue that it's superior to the other platforms in most ways that are meaningful, but it needs to sell, you know, and I hope Microsoft does stick with it if it doesn't sell. I would like the synthesis, I guess, between Windows and Windows Phone to be much more than it will be. Even in Windows Phone 8, I think. And I guess we'll see how that happens going forward. But
I mean, do you think there's even a remote thought of buy RIM? That's plan B.
No.
What would they? Why would they buy
that's
RIM?
That's a rumor that keeps coming up. I don't know why they would.
They don't need RIM.
It would be more like they're acquiring the customers. The thinking would be that, I think.
Well, because RIM is still very enterprise specific, very focused on enterprise. Microsoft is a big enterprise company. Maybe you're right. Maybe that would give them such a lead in enterprise that they could ignore the consumer market.
I don't. It's hard to say. Here's this RIM product that they need, right? There's a BlackBerry Enterprise server where you could argue, okay, well, they could pull that functionality into System Center probably for managing devices, make it part of Exchange ActiveSync or however they want to do it, whatever the theory is there. Okay. But, you know, as far as the phones themselves, I mean, RIM itself is in the middle of a major transition to a new system that is completely unproven. This BlackBerry 10 thing is based on a tablet operating system for a device that nobody bought, and they're kind of touting it as their next new thing for a phone. And, doesn't seem like a huge winning strategy to me. So I don't see RIM being, of course, I didn't see Skype being a strategic purchase for them either. And I certainly never saw them partnering with Nook, with Barnes & Noble and Nook. So. So yes, what you just said makes perfect sense.
Idea what they're doing. There you go.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, because that's one of those rumors that keep coming back, and I'm like, okay, I don't. You know, once they did the deal with Nokia, I'm like, no, now they're definitely not going to buy RIM because they basically bought Nokia, right? But I mean, could three underdogs pull together to become an overdog? I don't know. Microsoft, Nokia.
They should buy T-Mobile in that case.
One of the stories I saw, just the headline of it, didn't really read, was something along the lines of, Nokia makes more money on every Android sold than they do on their own devices. So they make more on Android than they do on their own devices.
That might
the theory
be true
being that they're
Microsoft,
right?
Too,
they're
right?
licensing,
yeah,
patents. Okay. It's not a pretty business. It's not the type of thing that's going to get consumers excited, but. I guess you could make this argument. If you can make money that way, what's the difference? I mean, ultimately, as far as shareholders are concerned, I mean, you're trying to make money. Trying to make money, I think, is what you're trying to do, right? So, I don't know. As is so often the case, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think the reason I mentioned this, though, is just that it's always been the same story. When you talk to people, we're in this. Don't worry about it. We're in this, We're in this. And now it's like, I'm not so sure anymore. and it's not really what you want to hear,
Well, we know they're at least in it till June 20th, right? That's when they're having their next big Windows Developer Conference in San Francisco.
Right, they announced the BlackBerry 10 switchover. we'll see. We'll see what that is.
Yeah. So, they did announce that today, in fact, that they're going to have a developer conference in San Francisco, June 20th and 21st. They haven't allowed people to sign up for it yet. But I'm guessing that's where they start talking about Windows Phone 8 Apollo, probably, and tell developers what they're doing there and kind of what they need to know to start thinking about apps for the phones that are due this year, unless Paul's plan B comes to pass.
I don't. No. Don't get me wrong. I don't have a plan B. It's more along the lines of this.
Easy.
What they're going to talk about is still going to happen. Windows Phone 8 is coming. There's no. I don't mean anything like that. Like they're not going to just close up shop. No, this is still happening. Windows Phone 8 will be interesting. It's going to be very much like Windows 8, of course. Maybe not as much like Windows 8 as some would hope, but similar developer tools and.
And a lot more enterprise focus too, which is good for people who've been kind of dragging their feet about buying the phone for work. They're adding things like encryption and BitLocker and doing a lot of things that
things
people have been asking.
That have prevented deployments in Microsoft's, in the one market that would have been interested in the Microsoft phone for the past year. So not to question the strategy, but
makes perfect sense to me. Paul, you got an article from Mayday. How not to fix Windows Phone Marketplace. I thought they were cleaning it up.
Yeah, so this is a hard one for me because, I love Windows Phone and you want to think that they're doing the right thing. I need to go look at my 4 points so I get this exactly correct. But I saw the blog post they'd made about how they were cleaning up the marketplace and I started to write an article called Microsoft is making changes with the marketplace. I thought this was good for them.
Cleaning it up and like getting rid of junk apps and stuff like that, or
In other words, they identified four issues with the Windows Phone Marketplace, and and their solution for those problems. You know, the interesting thing is that number one is an issue that I happen to be very familiar with because I talk to Raphael all the time, and Raphael is the guy who keeps complaining to them that there are all these intellectual property violations in the Windows Phone marketplace. And how did that happen? There's obviously an app approval process. There's a guy ripping off Sega and Nintendo games and just republishing them with ROMs and things. And how does that stuff sail through the app approval process? Microsoft's response at the time, and it's one that is voiced in this blog post as well, is that they only respond to these kind of trademark and IP issues, copyrights, when the owner of the trademark or copyright complains. That's when they take action. So in other words, you could rip off something. You could make a BMW thing or whatever it is, steal all their IP, make an app, or just steal someone else's game. You know, maybe someone made a game on the iPhone. Steal it, republish it on Windows Phone. They won't do anything about that unless the person who owns that original property complains about it. And so, okay, well, clearly they're going to fix this problem, right? No, they're not going to change the way they do things at all. Instead, what they did was they provided some advice to developers about how not to infringe on someone else's intellectual property. In other words, they put they're basically just telling people, well, just don't do this, you know? And they're like, and by the way, here's why you don't want to do it. It's expensive for us and time consuming to have to investigate these things. So it would be better for us if you just didn't do it. That's what they told developers, you know? That's amazing to me. It's amazing. So much like this Building Windows 8 post where you think it says one thing and then you read it and it says another thing, it was a little surprising to me. There's one about the quality of apps, you know. Canonical example, I looked up to see the hilarious farting apps that exist in the Windows Phone marketplace. You'll be delighted to discover there are many of them.
Well, that's true on Apple, too. I mean, that's of course, apparently of course. A big market.
I guess it is.
Yes.
So the problem is Microsoft doesn't actually care about low-quality apps, as it turns out. What they care about are apps where it's really the same app that's been multi-posted as slightly different apps. Different names, but it's really the same app. Or the exact same app with a different, you know, tile or graphic or whatever. I guess a lot of people are actually like doing these bulk submissions. And so they're actually going to crack down on that. And yeah, okay. And that's neat. And then the third issue was about keywords. This one's hilarious. So Microsoft has a policy where you can only have 5 keywords associated with an app. And I guess the keywords are for searching or categorizing purposes in the marketplace. However, many app developers were submitting their apps with more than 5 keywords. And those keywords would get through. So they would get to the marketplace and they would have 7 keywords or 8 or 10 keywords. So, I mean, my question to that is like, well, if you have a limit of keywords, why don't you limit the submission so that they can only submit 5 keywords? Why would you allow there to be more than 5? So that one they're actually going to fix. So there you go. That's something they are fixing. It's a problem of their own making. And then the fourth one was about not necessarily, I guess, sexually explicit apps. When Windows Phone was still in its gestation period, there was a post that Microsoft made just about 2 years ago where they announced they would not allow porn on Windows Phone. Last week, there was a story in TechCrunch titled "Windows Phone Has a Nasty Porn Addiction," which kind of contradicts Microsoft's stated purpose. And so in this post this past week, Microsoft wrote that it was committed to offering a diverse selection of safe and quality apps that appeal to a wide range of customer interests. So they do not allow apps that contain sexually suggestive or provocative images or content, but it does permit the kind of content you occasionally see on primetime TV or the pages of a magazine swimsuit issue. As I wrote, in other words, it does allow sexually suggestive or provocative images or content. So they're going to apparently pay more attention to this kind of thing. They're going to ensure that a lot of the app icons, you know, the tiles and so forth, aren't overly sexual so that, you know, if a kid was scrolling through the marketplace, they wouldn't see you know, stuff they shouldn't see. But, you know, I don't know. This stuff to me just speaks to the immaturity of the marketplace as it is, that there's no sense of parental control, perhaps, where if you knew that the person was logged in with an account on Windows Live that was controlled by parental controls, which, by the way, you can do, that they wouldn't see those kind of apps, you know, that it just... I don't know. It doesn't seem like they're doing much there. So I would say of the three of the four issues they raised, the most minor of the four, they're fixing something that should never have been wrong in the first place, their own problem. And the other three, they're basically doing almost nothing. In fact, they're giving you tips as a developer how to do their job for them, you know. And so I find this whole thing to be sort of unfortunate. You know, they're not really fixing anything.
What's funny, though, you look in the comments on this, right, and on that blog post, and the developers are, like, up in arms, of course. They're like, well, thanks for giving us a heads up, Microsoft. Thanks for really tightening the noose around our necks and making these huge changes. Yeah. It's kind of hilarious, right? Like, you're saying that these are not real, really big deal changes, and the developers hey.
Yeah, I'm not going to show you this because Raphael showed me an example of a developer who had violated two of these ones, and one of them was the sexual one, but... it was basically a guy who had multi-posted almost exactly the same app, but with different tiles, all of them involved scantily clad women. It went on for pages and pages, and it was just the same thing over and over and over again. And so this violates two of Microsoft's stated rules here, you know. My thing is simply that this stuff was, you know, you've started a store. You establish rules. You know, it's up to you to do this. I mean, that's... If this is going to be safe, and I mean safe in all ways possible, that's your responsibility as the owner of the store. I just find this to be very irresponsible. So, you know, I just
want it to be easier to find good apps. And, yeah. You know, it is when you use the web marketplace. But but even that, it's still like I feel like I sift through so many things when I'm trying to find an app.
You know, I'm probably won't be able to do this off the top of my head, but there is it's amazing to me how bad a lot of the stuff is on the marketplace. The when you buy a Nokia phone, they have an app called App Highlights. They actually update really regularly, and it is what you're asking for. It's a subset of the full store, and it's curated by Nokia employees who find apps that they really like and think are useful, and they highlight them literally for you. And it's just like a little, it's just like, you know, 100 apps instead of the thousands and thousands. But, you know, even when you know what you're looking for, you can go into, that's not the one. I'm trying to figure out. There's one of the, I don't know if it was SkyDrive or.
Skype. I was looking in the marketplace for Skype and I couldn't find it for a while.
You can't find it sometimes. Or
well, is that that's a failure in search though.
Right. But search being part of the whole platform. In other words, it's still a failure of the marketplace really, right? How sad is it when you go to a marketplace and you know exactly what you want and you can't get it? You know,
yeah, I found all these things with the word Skype in the name.
That were before none of the Skype app Skype. In the search results. Right. Exactly. Yep. No, yeah. And that's, I'm sorry, but that's just poor. You know, it's just poor. Yeah. So, you know, the reason, I guess I think of this like, you know, so, of course, I write something like this, of course, and you get responses from people like, I thought you were a fan of Windows Phone. What the hell is this? You know? And I guess the way I think of it is, you know, if my kid comes home with all C's and D's on my report card, I don't just tell him he's doing great. Don't worry about it because I love him. You have to complain about that. And, you know, you complain because you love it, you know, because you want it to be as good as it can be. And this is not as good as it can be. And I have a problem with that. And for them to put up a post where it appears like they're taking action to solve problems. And then you actually read, I mean, it's in the public. You can read it yourself. They're not really fixing anything. It's too bad. I just don't like to see that.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe they want to be a carrier. They don't want to be responsible, right? Right? Like YouTube. They prefer the takedown.
I guess. I mean.
Apple pretends that it looks at everything, but they don't. It's obvious. It's very difficult.
No, this whole thing is difficult. I mean, it's weird because, for example, I like the Amazon App Store for Android better than the Google one for a couple of reasons. But one of them, honestly, is just a slice in time thing. It just so happens for this very brief period of time, it's limited. There aren't hundreds of thousands of apps in there. Maybe now there are, but you know, they're going to start out with the best ones, right? Because they're new. Eventually, they're going to grow and grow and grow, and then it's going to be awful. You know, at some point, the sheer size of the store becomes a problem. It's a weird thing to complain about, but I actually really do think it's a problem in iOS. It's almost like they let too much in. You know, it makes it hard to find anything. You know, Windows Phone, unfortunately, it's more than that. I do think there are a substantial number of apps there, and that in some ways contributes to the issue, but. certainly there are too many bad apps too. And there's not a lot of discerning looks at it. I mean, I don't know how you would, I don't know how or why, or if you could even reject something just because it was bad. But, you know, the primary rule of Windows Phone Marketplace, as I understand it, is that your app provides some form of unique value. And I think a lot of apps in the Windows Phone Marketplace are not meeting that little requirement, you know. But they're coming from behind, and I don't think they're thinking like that.
Can we move on now?
Are you depressed enough about Windows Phone?
No, I'm happy. Happy go lucky.
And one other thing, Leo.
Steve Wozniak loves the Windows Phone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wanted to complain
Thank
about
goodness.
That. Who cares? You know,
you know, I got to tell you, I know Steve really, really well. And Steve is he is the nicest guy you'll ever meet. And he will,
right.
He will say anything to anybody to make them happy.
Right, which is why his opinion is absolutely worthless in this case. You know, I would be much more impressed if Steve Jobs had said he liked Windows Phone.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
No, for obvious
reasons. But I mean, that would never have happened any more than Bill Gates would let his kids buy an iPhone.
Right.
Right?
There was a recent Apple, it might have even been the most recent one, I don't remember. But, you know, every once in a while, Apple will throw out a bone to Windows Phone or Windows maybe, where they'll actually mention it. You know, they'll say something like, let's not forget, you know, Microsoft has a horse in this race too, I think was one of the quotes, and we can't leave those guys out. You know, that's as close as you're ever going to get from the Apple side is an implicit acknowledgement that there is a competitor for Microsoft and, you know, that they need to pay attention to how that thing's doing and so forth. But, you know, Steve Wozniak obviously placed secured in the annals of computer history, but, you know, his opinions about Windows Phone sadly are irrelevant, you know, and it's too bad. But it's just the way it is. So I'm glad he likes it, but he likes everything, so I don't even
he does. He basically likes everything.
So, yeah, that's neat. But all he's doing is reiterating what I already know. Yeah, I know. It's beautiful. I got it. Thank you. Thank you for admitting that. But it just doesn't it doesn't really add, you know, much to the...
There's going
to
be an ad. You watch. There's going to be an ad with Steve Wozniak holding a bag a la Robert Scoble with a Windows Phone in it.
Right. He'll be running out of the store with the Nokia bag.
Exactly. You heard it here first.
I got the first one.
Yeah, and you know what people are going to say? They're going to be like, who's that old guy?
Here's the good news.
I mean, like...
He won't have to wait in line that long. So, you know.
Wow.
Okay. That was a low blow.
No, that's right. We deserve that.
He waited all night in line to get the new iPad. But he likes waiting in line. Who wouldn't?
Yep.
No, I'm just teasing the old Windows Phone folks. One more story before we get our picks of the week.
Yes.
I saw this, and it was very interesting. I want you to explain the $99 Xbox. What? How could
just
that be?
Just a rumor.
Oh,
just
it's not real? I thought it was real.
Rumor for the time being.
But I pay a monthly fee for it? Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's the idea. Like, you'd pay a subscription fee for 2 years.
I get Xbox and Kinect. Do I get, like, the starter edition Xbox, or do I get actual hard drive in there?
if you stop paying, do they come into your door and take it away?
Do they take it?
Yep.
They do?
They rip it out of your home.
No.
But did my kids just finish this game of Connectimals? No.
But, you know, so what's actually interesting is when you add up all these things and you say, oh, wow, $99 and a 2-year subscription. Wow, I'm making out like a bandit. When you actually add up how much an Xbox costs now and what you pay for Xbox Live now, it's a wash, pretty much. It would be like you're paying the same thing. It's just a different configuration of, you know, what the parts look like. So it might attract, if it does ever happen, it might attract a new group of people who are more interested in like a low entry level way to get into the Xbox world.
I hope this doesn't happen, but B, I hope it fails if it does. And here's why. God help us if Microsoft is ever successful getting people to keep paying for something like this, right? This is like the cell phone model, except you're already paying for Xbox Live as well. So now they're getting you to also pay for the hardware over time. It's like you never really own the thing, you know? You're just making payments every month. It's a subscription. You know, they tried this with netbooks. Remember, you know, Radio Shack cellular companies were selling netbooks for $99, but you could get, you know, you had to pay $40 a month or $50 a month for a, you know, for wireless connectivity. It's like, this is just, they tried it with Office. You know, Microsoft is desperate to get consumers to pay for stuff forever, just like they do to enterprises. You know, this is, God help us if this takes off. This is this will be the future of Microsoft. You thought
it's
the
like software assurance, say. Software yeah. assurance for the Xbox, right?
Yeah, consumer assurance. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's exactly, yeah. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what Microsoft wants. They want more things on a subscription model, right? Because that's revenue you can count on.
Is there anything better than a little bit of money all the time? No, seriously.
Nothing.
I mean, right?
It's an
annuity.
They don't
want a little highs and lows are bad for a company. Right. They want money. Consistent. They want guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Guaranteed money.
Yep. Consistent.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing is, we talked about this when we talked about their earnings. You know, the Xbox division's earnings were down in the last quarter. And so maybe this is just like, hey, how do we get the last bit of juice out of the Xbox before we have to start talking about the next Xbox, right?
Man, it's
maybe.
Like bleeding a stone. Maybe. You know, the market is down. It's not, the Xbox is doing
right.
poorly, relatively, not because the Xbox is bad. It's still number one. It's just that the market overall is down.
Is not doing, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, is that because of saturation or the economy or what?
That's a good question, actually.
Lack of games. I think it's saturation.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I mean,
yeah,
it's a video game. Right. It's a video game console market that's down. It's not the consoles right. market in general. It's just the hardcore video games.
Because all three of the major video games have been out for years. If you wanted one, you got one.
Paul's already got so many Xboxes. There's no more.
I was going to say, I have actually really a cynical response to this would be that, you know, they finally fixed the reliability problems with the Xbox 360. Now people aren't buying them over and over again. You know,
That's actually true for me.
They finally fixed the
Xboxes
thing.
And now
I don't have to keep buying them. Like, no, this one's just actually been working.
That's actually true for me.
Yeah.
It hasn't red ringed in a whole year.
This one has never red ringed.
Yeah.
As far as,
yeah, the newest one, I guess I got what I don't know if it's the Elite or whatever it was, the black one. I love it.
Yep.
And never red ringed, so I didn't buy anymore.
Yeah. See, that turned out to be a bad business plan.
You know, let them fail. Sort of, good.
Those things failing was the best thing we ever did. I don't actually think that's it.
No. I think it's saturation. I really do. I mean, you know, who doesn't have one at this point? That's why the Kinect sold so well. It was a new product.
Yeah. Right. So I think, you know, obviously whenever it happens, Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo will release new hardware and they'll get whatever reduced big bang they can get out of that. Because I think the market for these things is going down thanks to other forms of more casual gaming through, you know, online services like Facebook and obviously the smartphones and tablets and so forth. But, you know, they always relied on these big events, you know, for Halo, for Microsoft, rather, it was the Halo type events, Call of Duty events that happen one a year. But I think these things are kind of reduced expectations over time because, you know, ultimately, we're still playing, you know, it's the same console. It's, you know, yet another version of Gears of War, yet another version of Call of Duty, yet another version of Halo. You know, I mean, at some point, you need that hardware bump as well. But I'd like to be proven wrong. I mean, I still play video games regularly on a console and prefer it to other forms of gaming. But you have to think that the market for this kind of thing, compared to other more casual forms of games, is much smaller, you know. They've had some enormous successes entertainment-wise, but still, I think that points to why Microsoft 2 is going for the living room play with the Xbox 360, right? That they see the gaming part of it isn't as important, you know, as it used to be in the beginning.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, your picks, your tips, your tools, your all that crap. It's the back of the book is coming up.
I just want to say I missed you when you were gone.
Here comes the back of the book. You know, I don't know about you, but remember when they actually printed computer magazines on paper? And I would get Computer Shopper, and I wouldn't read the front of the book. I'd go right to the back of the book. Same thing with PC Magazine. I always wanted like the tips and tricks and stuff. This is the best part.
The back of the book.
The back of the book is coming up, folks. This is where if John C. Dvorak were on the show, this is where we'd stick him.
It's exactly where we'd stick him.
We'd stick him right here. But first, I'd like to do a little Audible thing. And actually, this is a pick, too, because Paul and I are huge Audible fans. And whenever we start talking about audiobooks, we kind of start talking about our favorite audiobooks from audible.com. I'm going to tell you how you can get a free book in just a moment. But first, go to audible.com and take a look at all the books. So many. The new Robert Caro just came out. Lyndon Johnson. He's been doing, this is the longest biography.
Yeah, it's like a multi-part one.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to.
I read the first two, so I'm presuming this is the third and final.
Part five, isn't it?
Or part five, is it? Wow.
Also,
Yeah, because I read. Maybe this is all of them together.
No, this is like the Kennedy. This is the
Kennedy and the last year. Yeah, because Master of the Senate was amazing.
Yeah,
that was.
It's only part. You're saying it is part three then?
Yeah, I think it's part three, something like that. I'm looking. I don't know. I love Robert Caro. Anyway, I'm just pointing this out that there are a ton of great things. This is if you like history, as Paul and I do. Fantastic. Here's an interesting thing. This is at the top of the page. 20 great ways to use your credits, and these are all single credit books. By
it's
most
like 50
of the
ways to leave your lover.
Yeah, 20 great ways to use your credits. You know why they picked these? These are single credit books that are over 30 hours long. They're all like huge. The Robert Caro book is 33 hours long. I'm reading The Stand right now. I don't know how many freaking out 48 hours or something. So what do you got for us, Paul? What's your recommendation?
I've been sort of looking into classic sci-fi lately.
They've turned that around because Audible didn't have any sci-fi when I joined in 2000. Now they've got a whole Audible Frontiers where they record and bring back classic sci-fi. This is an interesting.
This one's awesome. So Martian Chronicles, Ray Bradbury classic series of short stories that was kind of turned
love
into a novel.
These.
Play the little. Play the sample here on this one.
Because this is a dramatization.
January 2030, rocket summer.
Oh, wow. The sound effects.
Wow. 1 minute, it was Ohio winter. With doors closed, windows locked.
So this is a radio, but it's the full text of the books. Yeah. But performed with a full cast audio. I like it when they do this. I've done a couple of other Audible books like this.
This can be hit or miss, you know, but this one's cool. And it reminds me of that Dracula one that we just recommended.
Yeah.
It's also awesome with a full cast. So that's kind of a neat one.
Fahrenheit 451. Something Wicked This Way Comes. A lot of Ray Bradbury.
How has none of the awesome Foundation robot stuff been turned into good movies?
Too hard? You know? I don't know.
I don't know.
I know. iRobot was okay. It didn't have much to do with the original book, but
Bicentennial Man, same thing. You know, I don't understand.
Foundation begs to be made into.
Yeah. Now that they've done Lord of the Rings, that should be the next.
An 18 parts. Make a miniseries.
Hey, you know what? Actually, right. Do it on HBO.
HBO miniseries.
Yep.
Oh, I would watch that.
Yeah. That'd
be great. Oh. Now we've just recommended, like, how many Foundation books are there? Like 20.
Oh, geez. Well, there are at least, yeah.
there's a prequel.
The two trilogies plus, and they tie into the robot books. So,
but there is a dramatization, but it's short of the Foundation trilogy you could listen to on Audible. I'll tell you what. One of the things, well, it's not that short, 7 hours, 48 minutes. Tell you, this is the hard part about Audible. Look, here's the deal. Go to audible.com/windows. Sign up for the gold account. You get your first credit free. Cancel it any time. The book is yours to keep. I think you just need to do this right now. Don't even think about it. Just do it. And you'll find that once you start listening, you can't stop. In the car, at work, at the gym. I get so much reading done. I mean, I couldn't go through The Stand. If I had to read it, I'd fall asleep. But no, I'm listening to it. It's great. In fact, I listen to it as I fall asleep. Audible.com/windows. Give them a try. Do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. I think you will like it. Oh, there's a new Sookie Stackhouse novel, book 12. That's what True Blood is based on. I haven't done those yet. Love True Blood. Anyway. All right. Have you seen the Three Stooges movie yet? I haven't seen it. I'm just wondering if I should.
My son will tell you yes, you should see it.
Because he's 10.
As a man, I love the Three Stooges.
Yes.
But it looks pretty terrible. I don't know.
Oh, I want it to be good.
I know.
I want it to be. It's not a biopic. It's like the Three Stooges.
It's sort of.
Is it a biopic? I would like. I would.
It's a fictionalized biopic. You know.
I would like to see a biopic of the Howard brothers.
Yeah. I'd rather see that.
Mo, Larry, Curly.
This is like dumbest. I think
that's not good. I don't want to see that. Yeah. Your pick of the week, Master Thorot.
Master task switching in Windows 8, you know.
Master task switcher.
It's funny. I feel like a lot of the new stuff around Windows 8 is obscuring some of the other stuff that's going on. You know, I gave a talk this week about Windows 8 usage in business, and I think when you talk about IT pros and administrators and just general business use of Windows 8, people get stuck on the start screen and they never get by it. You know, they look at that and they say, that's not Windows. I don't want to talk about this anymore. You know, and they lose sight of the other stuff that's going on. Likewise, I think there's a lot of complaint in the Windows world that Windows 8 is too focused on the tablet and that they're leaving all of these other people behind. And, you know, actually, as it turns out, a lot of the core stuff that we do in Windows and we don't really think much about has been enhanced in this release for all users, if you use keyboard, mouse, or touch. And one of the classic examples of this is, you know, task switching, right? So in Windows today, we can use Alt plus Tab to, you know, use Windows Flip and go between the various running applications on the system. But Windows 8 actually includes many more methods for task switching, including some that are based on touch, yes, but a lot of interfaces that work with mouse, keyboard, and touch as well. And so I'm writing a series of articles about all of the new features of Windows 8. But lately I've been working on these navigational features like the start tip, the back tip, and switcher, which is kind of a metro-fied interface for task switching that works when you're on the desktop. It works when you're on the start screen, and it works when you're in any metro style app. So I guess the general message here is just to yes, we'll debate all the great stuff about Windows 8 and all those high points and stuff. But, you know, this thing's coming down the pike. And as it turns out, there are, in fact, some excellent interfaces in there for interacting with the system that simply didn't exist before. And whether you like Metro or not, these things can help you become more efficient. I think task switching is a good example of that, where they're not really getting the credit for this stuff because people are too busy complaining about the start screen to kind of see beyond that. So. Anyway, probably today I'll put the one up about the snap feature, but I've got the other ones for the start tip and the back tip and switcher are already on the website.
And having said our tip of the week, perhaps it would behoove you to do a pick of the week now.
Yeah, I usually try to pick stuff that's free, but this one's expensive.
Oh, good.
But we've mentioned this one in the past. You know, I just got my renewal for TechNet Standard email, and so I did renew
it. This is a good deal if you're in the market for this kind of thing, I think.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people listening to this are in the market for this kind of thing. So, you know, if you're an IT pro and you're looking out at the way technology is changing and your job is going to be changing, you know, maybe you manage email today and your company is going to go to cloud-hosted email in the future, or you know, you want to move up in life or, you know, move sideways to another type of technology. A lot of us will evaluate software and software-related services in our own time. Certainly, I spend much of my time doing exactly that. And TechNet Standard, which is $200 for the first year and then $149 every year after that for renewals, gives you non-production use, meaning good for testing and evaluation versions of virtually all of the software that Microsoft makes. The standard version is everything but the enterprise software, but it also gives you other things that I think really don't get enough credit. There's an e-learning course, which those are fantastic, 24/7 online chat, priority support in the forums. And if you step up to professional, you get, which is $349 a year or $249 for renewal, you get all the enterprise software as well, an additional e-learning course, and you get two complimentary Microsoft professional support calls as well. You know, the TechNet stuff is controversial, and which is unfortunate because I think some people look at this and they say, well, you're recommending this so people can get free copies of Office that they can put on all their computers, or, you know, free copies of Windows that they can put on all their computers. That's not what this is for. You know, this is not about getting Windows cheaply. This is about learning more about Microsoft software It's perfectly legal. It's perfectly legitimate. I think most of the people who are listening to this understand how this works and what it's for. And this is something I actually pay for myself every year. So I do recommend it. And I recommend it for all the right reasons, not for, undercutting the system or whatever and getting free copies of, some high-end version of Windows or whatever. Definitely worth it.
Definitely. Now, since you have done a software pick that costs $199.
$149. I'm sorry. You're right. $199.
For the first year. And then you can renew it.
Yep.
And this would be a year to buy it because you get Windows 8. Windows 7 and Windows 8.
It's never not the year to buy it, Leo.
Every year is the right year.
Every year is the year to buy it.
But I think it's a better deal when there's a new version of Windows and a new version of Office. Then you're getting something for your money. Something exciting. Meanwhile, if you thought that was expensive, you ought to try Office Live Small Business. Or maybe not. I don't know. It's our enterprise pick of the week, Mary Jo.
Yes. You actually can't try it anymore because as of this week, it was phased out. But the reason I made it my enterprise pick of the week this week is I started hearing from a lot of customers who have been on OLSB, as it's affectionately known, that they were having problems migrating their email. Like the people who are going from OLSB to Office 365, they were having some issues. But some people who are trying to just, get their Hotmail to continue and work were having a lot of issues. And there were a lot of questions on the forum about it. And people were panicking because they thought they were going to lose Hotmail names that they had had for ages. So Microsoft ended up doing the right thing here, at least partially the right thing. And what they're going to do if you're having this problem, if you're one of the many, they're going to arrange for custom emails hosted through Windows Live Hotmail to still work for 6 months. And they're providing a support form users can submit to recover any OLSB data if they miss their deadline of May 1 when they shut this off. So you have a chance if you missed it and you panicked because you either lost your email name or you lost your data. You can go to the OLSB community forum and look for the form, fill that out, and you'll have a reprieve at least for 6 months. So that's good news if you're one of the people. And they were all kinds of small businesses. I was hearing from people who had like dog washing services and all, people who were using Office Live Small Business, which was a hosting and design service that Microsoft had for a long time. So these people, they weren't very tech savvy and they just wanted an easy way to host a domain. And so you have a chance if you're one of those people.
Yay.
Yay.
It's difficult to, when you offer a service to cancel it ever.
Yeah.
People get attached to it.
It's true.
It seems easier to cancel software or to do rev software than to cancel a service. I don't know why, but it just feels that way. I think, for instance, of Rock Band on iOS. Yesterday, EA said we're going to kill Rock Band, and people got so upset that they actually brought it back.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. But it's the same thing. It has in-app purchases, I think, and so because of the Apple license issue with in-app purchases, they just were going to kill it. And people got so upset, they now say, all right, we won't kill it. Maybe that'll happen to
OLSB. No, probably not.
OLSB.
OLSB.
That is not
BPOS.
BPOS. Yay.
Yay.
That is not our code name pick of the week. No, in fact, the code name pick of the week might remind you of Humphrey Bogart, sweetheart.
Definitely. And this was a code name pick suggested by a longtime listener, Wooter. Hey, Wooter.
Hey, Wooter.
Wooter.
It's fun to say.
It's code name Casablanca. And it's a set of libraries that Microsoft is making available on their DevLab site, which is like an experimental site for people who are into dev tools from Microsoft. The idea of it is to make it easier for C++ coders to consume and implement RESTful services. So, the way you can do this already with some of the .NET languages, Microsoft, because they love C++ too these days, they're trying to make it a comparable experience available to people who are using C++. So you'll be able to, I'm going to read this because it's a little complex and I want to get it right. Casablanca supports the access of REST services from native code on Vista, Windows 7, the Windows 8 Consumer Preview also, by providing asynchronous C++ binders to HTTP, JSON, and URIs. So if you're one of these people who is working with Azure and you're interested in using C++ to develop apps for the cloud, this could be very useful to you. So you should check out the Microsoft DevLab site and get the code and get the access to that.
Get the code, man.
Friends, we have come to the end of this session of Windows Weekly, but not to the end of Windows. No, you can still go to twit.tv/dubdub and find every episode we've ever recorded back into the earliest days. I think, Paul, we started the show during Windows 95.
It feels like it,
doesn't it? 259 episodes now in toto.
Remember when the start button was new, Leo?
What was the? Was it XP or no? We were in Vista mode. We were in Vista mode when we started.
It was Vista wasn't out yet, but
was it really? Is it that? So that's long ago.
Before Vista shipped.
Yeah. Pre-Vista. That's how old Paul is. I, on the other hand, and I'm on clone number 3. I never age. We just replace them with. We've got a vat in the basement.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think it's the Pilates. I attribute that to the Pilates.
You want me to plank again? Because I can. I will. I heard that Andy Yannacko was dancing on the table on Mac Break Weekly, so I got to do something.
Wow.
This show is every Thursday about 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC on twit.tv. That means you can watch live, but if you don't or you want to get an audio or video version of the show, we do make those available for download everywhere. Finer podcasts are aggregated. Absolutely free, never a charge. Always, I promise, you have my oath. This show will never cost you a penny unless you go out and buy stuff because of it. But that's up to you. Paul Thurrott is at the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. Mary Jo Foley, allaboutmicrosoft.com. And we will be back next week with another thrilling, gripping edition of Windows Weekly. See you later, guys. And meanwhile, during this show, Revision 3 sold to the Discovery Channel for $30 million.
Oh, man. Wow.
Making me just depressed as hell.
That's crazy. Wow.
Crazy talk. Isn't that good? Good for them.
Is Jim still there? Louder
oh, bit? Yeah. Jim's CEO. Yep. I'm sure Jim's a millionaire Jim. Now. Yep. They had 9 or 10 in venture funding, but that still leaves $20 million for... Founders.
I never forget the first time I saw Jim Lauterbach. It was probably at a Comdex. He was he's about 3 feet tall, and he was carrying a backpack which was bigger than he was. So he was like this little midget with a giant backpack.
He's like a dwarf. the Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's really good at digging holes in rock. No, Jim's a great guy, and I'm really happy for him. I would guess it's Prager. David Prager is probably a millionaire now. Kevin Rose has been already a millionaire. It's interesting. All three of Kevin's companies dissolved over the last month. Milk, Dig, just got bought by the Washington Post, and Revision 3 by Discovery. So Mr. Rose is probably doing all right. All right.
And Paul, they just announced they're opening a Microsoft store in the Prudential Center.
Yes.
A friend of mine just told me that.
Yes.
You know, the Prudential Center is where the Apple store is. Almost. It's across the street from the Prudential Center. Mm-hmm. So they can hurl rocks at each other like the beginning of that Monty Python movie where they were steering the buildings like ships, you know?
I love it.